How you doing? I'm Peter Pastorelli. In 1965, I was 25 years old and up to my eyebrows in the counterculture. The half the population in the country was under 25. What an audience that was. Maharishi Mahesh was pushing transcendental meditation. Timothy Leary was pushing acid. Lee Iacocca was pushing Mustangs. There was hippies and yippies, free love, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, the Beatles, and the women's movement. One countercultural element of the women's movement was topless dancers, women who decided that they could express their freedom and also make a political statement, became topless dancers. One of our friends, Kara Robin, was a booking agent for dancers. And one night at dinner, she asked me if I wanted to get involved in a marijuana deal. But it was weight. You had to buy a lot of it. I thought this was a good idea, even though I didn't even like marijuana that much. So this is how it went down. I was to go to the Metropole, which was on 49th Street and 7th Avenue. Used to be a jazz club, but they turned it into a topless dancers venue. I was to see Lorelei Dawson at 10 o'clock in the morning before the dancers went on, and she would tell me how this was gonna ensue. So I got up there at 10 o'clock, I found Lorelei, and we went out to a payphone. There was no cell phones then. You had to walk around with a pocket full of change all the time. So Lorelei explained to me what the deal was. Marty, whoever his last name was, I don't know, had ripped off some Mexicans in Virginia and gotten about 200 kilos of marijuana. He was now holed up in the East Village and he was selling it hand over fist. It was $1,000 a kilo, which was a really pretty good price. So she got on the phone with Marty, and the first thing she said was, "Don't yell at me, Marty. He's a friend of Kara's." So after a couple of minutes of back and forth, she put me on the phone with Marty. He said, "Listen, you got to buy at least eight kilos." I said, "That's fine. I can buy 8 kilos. He said, "All right. This is what you do. You go to the A&P on 2nd Avenue and 5th Street, and you stand in front of it at 5 o'clock tonight." "All right, I can do that." "You stand there until the payphone rings. You pick it up, and I'll tell you where to go. If you look all right, I'll call the phone." "All right, thank you." So it was 10:30 in the morning, and I knew a bunch. I was working two jobs. I was working in the movies. I was working on the Midnight Cowboy, and I was working in a bar called Chumley's. So I had a little bit of dough. I had 6 or 7 hours now to make a few calls. I called around, and everybody that I called was interested in buying this. And I was charging $2,000 a kilo. And most of the people fronted the money without anything more than a phone call. So by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I had $16,000. I left $8,000 at home in case I finally did get ripped off. At least it'd only be half of it. And I went down and stood in front of the A&P. I stood there for about 5 minutes, and the phone rang. So I picked it up, and it was Marty. He said, "All right, you look all right. Come around to 231 East 5th Street. Go up to the third floor, apartment 12. "All right, I can do that." So I went around the corner, went into the building. And in 1965, the Lower East Side was still like East European immigrants. I mean, there was a few hippies moving in, but it was still, families. So the whole hallway smelled like cabbage, all the way up. 3 floors of cabbage. I got to apartment 12, and knocked on the door. This beautiful girl opened the door. She was wearing short, gray short shorts and a peach-colored vest. And she had incredibly deep green blue eyes. They were so deep you could go swimming in them. Well, I would go dog paddling, but most people would swim. She brought me inside, and Marty was on the phone yelling at somebody about the Mexicans or some goddamn thing. There was two guys standing in the other room with shotguns, and there was a Doberman pincher that was at least this big. So I sat down at the kitchen table. I was eye to eye with the Doberman pincher. Marty got off the phone. He said, all right, here's 8 kilos. Give me $8,000. So I gave him $8,000. He put the 8 kilos on the table. He said, you want to try it? I said, yeah, let me try it at least. So we rolled up a little joint. I started smoking, and I offered the girl a toke. And Marty went completely nuts. He says, you're not here for a party. Just find out if you like this stuff or not. So I said, okay, I'll take it. He took a Les Toil box, a cardboard box with Les Toil, an empty Les Toil box, and we put all the kilos in there. So that was that. It was like an open-top box. I had this dope. He said, all right, get the fuck out of here. I didn't get shot. I had the grass. I didn't get ripped off. So I went back down the cabbage steps. I went I'm on 5th Street. I walk up to 2nd Avenue, and I'm about to hail a cab. I got an open box of grass, 5:30 at night. I just hail a cab, and I start to open the door, and everything went black, completely black. I thought, maybe I'm losing my sight, smelling this stuff. But it was the blackout of 1965. Everything was black. No traffic lights, no nothing. So it took us more trouble to get across 50. It was scarier getting across town in this cab. You had to slow down for every intersection. People were creeping through the intersections. We finally got across town, and I had told everybody that I had sold this to meet me at Chumley's at 6 o'clock. It was almost 6:30 by the time we got there. And it was pitch black. Everything was black. I went into Chumley. There were some candles on the tables. Chumley's had a garden in the back room that hardly anybody knew about. So I went back there with the grass. I left it there. I came back out and I met all the people who had bought the grass from me. So we went back into the garden. We had a candlelight bazaar. And within 25 minutes, I sold the whole thing. It was like, I'll put this on my lap, or you put it on your lap. Now it's gone. Oh, I got all this money here. It was an amazing experience. I was going to bring everybody up to my apartment, but I was on the 12th floor, and there was no elevator, so we couldn't do that. I offloaded all of the 8 kilos. Everybody bought a kilo. They weren't even thinking twice. A couple of people from the movie, most of the people from the bar. And with that money, I went to, my wife and I went to Europe for a couple of months. When we got back from Europe, I investigated getting back into the drug business. But I discovered very early on that the people handling the people who were in the drug business that only a few months before had been like kind of mellow, a little, not Marty wasn't mellow, but it was still kind of a mellow, laid back thing. But within a few months, it turned into the kind of people who were handling this stuff were the fiercest, most dangerous people I had ever met. And luckily for me, I got some work in the movies and I didn't have to work in a bar anymore. And that was my entrance into and my exit from a life of crime.